close. I'll tell you what, there will be no glory unless there is love among the brethren. And unless there is unity, the glory cannot fall. If you are judging people and you are gossiping about people, if there's even judgmental thoughts, it's like, get rid of them. Get rid of all this stuff. Get rid of it. Because the glory will not, sure, we're expecting you can decree and declare it all you want, like we've been doing for years, that we're going to have visitations from God and manifestations of the Holy Ghost, the impartations and revelations, and that we're going to operate in the, we've been declaring all that stuff, that there will be revival in this church, that we're flowing in the spirit of revival. We ask for the wind, the fire, the rain, and the oil. I'm telling you, for years, I've typed it out, and for years, but it will not be if there is not love and unity among the brethren. Yes. And keep that. We're bringing back the glory of the church. And I mean, the church, it looks like it. I'm just not paying any attention to what they're doing anymore with the guy. I mean, it's no use. It's God's got to do something. But I know that nothing is going to stop us. Nothing can stop you. Absolutely nothing. Never, ever, ever, ever. The church of God is going to go out with fire, and it's going to go out with wah! It's going to go out with a shout. It's going to go out with victory. The real church is not going to go down at all. Now, I'm telling you, there may be persecution. So, you know, you have to... That's where we have to walk in that love walk and get rid of the flesh. Right. Offense, forget it. Yeah. If you're offended, fine and dandy, just get rid of it. Yeah. Quickly, grow up. Because yeah. Offense is for someone maybe in grade school. Yeah. I'm telling you, folks, that's huge in the church, offense. Jealousy, strife, division, offense. And offense, you have to just kill it. You have to get rid of it. And forgive. People, it's just huge. Or the glory will not fall. And I'm talking to myself too. That's just something that has to be. If you're going to be part of this end-time visitation of the Lord, the end, the whole thing. Okay, so Psalm 113, verses 7 and 8, and it says, oops, that's 112. Okay. He raises up, we're going to receive the tithes and offerings, by the way. Okay. He raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the dunghill. Okay, the Amplified says, the Lord raises the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap and the dunghill, that he may seat them with princes, even the princes of his people. He wants to seat us with princes. Yes. Is anybody too hot in here? How about, you're hot, yeah. Maybe you could turn it down now. It was pretty chilly in here, and so I turned it up, and now... we'll try. Okay, now, words that put you down should be treated like cuss words from others or yourself. Any kind of words that put you down be treated like cuss words. And just don't let them be out of your mouth. Now, actually... Now think about this, and we've talked about it before. How does it help you for me to be broke? Can you give me any ways it would help you? No. And how does it help me for you to be broke? You got any answers? We need to help each other, and we need to help others, right? we be able to give, especially into the gospel. And I'll tell you what, when you give it, I'm not even asked. I mean, I'm not even thinking about that. Well, I want you to give us something tonight. And that isn't what I'm talking about. But when you give into the gospel, God pays you back. That's all. I've seen it over many, many years. Actually, God can raise you up out of a dunghill if you stop the poor mouthing self. Yeah, that poor mouth talk. I can't afford that or something. You know, you're in your life and in other people's life. Say it's not in the budget right now, but it's coming. Put it on the refrigerator and slap it every time you eat. That's a good door to put it on. See, when you constantly talk about the economy, you live under a different spirit. So, see, God is a good God, and He can raise you up out of a dunghill. It said it right there. He can raise you up out of problems. He can raise you up out of impossibilities. And it's His will, and it's His pleasure, and He already established it in His Word. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, just think of that. One day the Lord said to me, I am not your shepherd unless you make me Lord. Whoa. I am not your shepherd unless you make me the Lord of your life and the Lord of your finances. And the next part of that says, and you shall not want. So He's already established for us to be raised up in His Word. And He can, if you don't let the devil ain't level. But if you don't let if you don't let the devil lie to you. See, God has got the ability. He's like a good father who wants to provide for you. And all you have to do is believe this. You know, honestly, okay, all of this is more true than any book, any newspaper, anything in the whole wild world that has been written. And yet we read it and we don't believe it. And it says, God is not, one of the scriptures says, God is not a man that He should lie, nor the son of man that He should repent and change His word. Has He not just said He will lift you out of the dunghill? The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Hasn't He just said that? He says, have I not said it and will I not do it? And have I not written it and will I not make it come to pass? Wait a minute. Is that Deuteronomy 39? Okay, 23:19. Numbers 23:19. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I know, except. I know, I said, I know it. I wanted to show I know it. No. Yeah, that's right. Okay. No, but that one is choose life. That's the same thing. I set before your life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your seed may live. You know what? And that seed is your children. And it's your grandchildren and all the generations. And that seed could be your money seed. How about garden seeds? See, believe that word of empowerment. And when you hear something, the word of God is true. It's absolutely true. And remember, God's word, our mascot scripture for this church, Hebrews 4:12, God's word is alive. It's powerful and it's sharper than a two-edged sword, and it divides asunder between your soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And you know what? This is the same way we are healed. Healing has already been given to us. You've got to believe it, you've got to receive it, and you've got to speak it and speak to your body when something comes up. See, believe God can use you. and quit talking little stuff. Okay, the more God does for you, the more thankful you become. And if you become conceited, you'll lose it. Yeah, you're gone. But the more, he'll show you his strength and his power, and don't worry, he'll take care of you. Don't you want to take care of your own kids? Yeah, well, he must 10 million times more. He wants to do that. Okay, so did we pass out yet? No. Did we pass out the end? Yeah, it's a little stuffy. Yeah, it's off now.
Thank you, Jesus. My.
Hallelujah. Oh, okay, don't forget, now Friday night we're going to have, oh, look who's here. Friday night we're going to have Marilyn Neubauer, and everyone's invited. Everyone, please come. She's going to, this is 4 p.m. And then you'll be let out at 6. You can still go to a movie. You can still go have some fun somewhere. But then on Saturday night, it's again 4 p.m. And that night, afterwards, we're going to feed you. Cane's chicken. I should probably tell them. But we're going to Kentucky Fried Chicken for the coleslaw because it's better. And we're just going to cater it all in. And then we're going somewhere for macaroni and cheese. And somebody's making the pork and beans with bacon in it. And maple syrup and all of that. Yeah, I like the and then dessert, whatever, plus cinnamon bread from Costco. It's all free. We're going to feed you. So, amen. And then she's here Sunday morning and she's going back. So, amen. Just thought I would tell you. All right, well, Father God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, God. You are such a good, wonderful, holy God. God, we can't thank you enough for our lives and what you've done all these years since we have come to know you. Lord, your goodness and your mercy have been so extensive to all of us, Lord. You have mercy on us. Even when we goof up, Lord God, we can run right back to you. We thank you, Father, for the grace of repentance that still exists, Lord God. Thank you, God. Thank you. And thank you, Father, that we are able to give into the kingdom of God. There is no other place, Lord, that you can give into stocks, but this is the highest, highest increasing stock there is, Lord, to invest into. So we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, Lord, that we want the glory to come back to the church, Lord God, and we want the kingdom of God to increase. And that is our sole purpose for even being here. And we thank you, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And my God supplies all of our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. Yeah, thank you. Okay, oh, no, you can't be seated. Sorry. We're going to say the Pledge of Allegiance. My husband just whispered to me. So we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, we're going to start out with 2 Corinthians 4. Okay, and this is kind of on the same theme as the, it's raising you up to a higher place. God can raise you up from where you are. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 18, out of the Amplified. Yeah. Okay, now. Okay, just let me tell you this first. Psalm 116, verse 10, David wrote that he had the same spirit of faith that God had. Now, let's just pray. Father God, I thank you. I thank you. No, I mean, well, I'll just pray with me. You don't have to repeat it, though. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity for the Word of God. And we thank you that your Word never returns void, but shall accomplish what we please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which we sent it. And God, I thank you that you hasten that Word to perform it. And we're asking you, Lord, because we love you. And we love you in an intimate way, Lord God, just like a husband and wife. Lord, we thank you that we would come to know you and the power of your resurrection. And we want to know you more and more and more, God. And we're zipping open our heart, God, and asking you to pour in everything that we can receive this day. Lord God, we thank you for that. Open up the eyes of our understanding and flood our hearts with light that we truly might know the hope to which we have been called. And how glorious is our inheritance as born-again saints on this earth, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that as God is, so are we in this world. And greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So we praise you and thank you, Father, for the privilege and honor for you to live in our hearts. For you said we are the very temple of the living God, for he lives within us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, out of the Amplified, in verse 13, it says, yet we have the same spirit of faith as he had who wrote, I have believed and therefore have I spoken. We too believe. We believe the word of God and therefore we speak it. And that's what we are to be doing. All right. So assured that he who raised up the Lord Jesus, that was God the Father, will raise us up also with Jesus. Right. And bring us along with you into his presence. For all these things are taking place for your sake, so that the more grace, divine favor and spiritual blessing, extends to more and more people and multiplies through the many. Okay, see, okay, the more we have received God's grace and the blessings that he has given us and the word of God and everything that's in it that is ours, the more it'll extend to different people, right? And it multiplies, then it says, through the many, the more thanksgivings may increase. And it redounds to the glory of God. It's for the glory of God. See, we get, what we're trying to put across here is we get all wrapped up in our own little distractions, in our own little problems. We get all into what, oh my gosh, this happened and that happened and this happened. That's what we got to grow out of, because it is a trap of the enemy to stop us from giving the glory to more people. So, you know, we go, oh my gosh, that happened. And then it's on our mind forever. And, you know, that's the hugest trap that the enemy puts on Christians, so that they do not, you know, witness. They aren't on fire because they're problems, 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 problems. And see, that's why he tries to do that with your bodies too. Everybody, you know. That's when you gotta, I'm not gonna put up with this stuff. You know what? Just push through. Keep moving on. Oh, well, at a certain age, you know, we had a CenturyLink guy come to our house today, and he was saying, you know, just, well, okay, he was shocked how old we were, but he talked to us for a long time, and he really had a love of God, and he said, The thing I like is worship, and I think he stayed there for 45 minutes talking about the Lord and about different, you know, different things like that. Yeah, then he was in the Navy, like Ken. But see, you never know when you're going to, I don't even know what denomination he is or what he is, but you have to push through. You can give up. You can give up when you have pain. You can give up when you have a diagnosis. You can give up when you get offended. There, you know what? It's good for us to get offended once in a while. Actually, they always say, if you're never offended by your pastor, that is not your pastor. But some people get offended and leave. And that's a trap of the enemy. Okay, so more thanksgiving will increase to the glory of God. Therefore, we do, verse 16, we do not become discouraged. This is what I'm talking about. Utterly spiritless, exhausted and wearied out through fear. You get, you know, things that happen. Oh, I'm going to kick you out of the house, or, you know, you can't pay the rent. You lost your job. You're blah, 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 blah. Okay. And fear might come in. And that's when we've got to depend on him. If you're already depending on him, then it won't be hard to get into that mode. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away, our inner self should be, it doesn't say should be in here though, it said it is being progressively renewed day after day. Now, who wrote this? Paul. For our light momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour. Now, that's what he's talking about when problems come. He calls it a light, momentary affliction. A slight distress of the passing hour, excuse me, is ever more and more abundantly preparing you, producing, and achieving for you an everlasting weight of glory. Beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. You can't imagine if you've ever been in the glory. You know, I don't know how many times I have, a couple times. I saw at this prayer convention, oh man, I wish we'd all gone. I could see I watched it on YouTube. Oh, there was a haze in there. It was hazy. Woo! There was power in there. Okay, since the last verse, since we consider and not and look not to the things that are seen. Uh-huh. Is that easy to look at when not to the things that are seen? Well, let me show you, the doctor says, your diagnosis. Whose report do I believe? I believe the report of the Lord. But you got to really be into that. You have to have been studying, yourself and looking at healing scriptures so that you're prepared. Look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. What are the unseen things? The things in the glory. The things above, a realm of the spirit that's above the natural world. Here's a line, and it's above that. And you can go above that because your Lord and God wants you to. But you've got to believe. You've got to believe it. For the things that are visible are just temporal. They're brief. They're fleeting. They're going to go away. But the things that are invisible, God's word, God's glory, it's deathless. It cannot go away. And it's everlasting. Now, I just want to, okay, wait a minute. Let me just check something. 8. Yay. Nah, I had the wrong verse. No, well, you know what Paul went through? Many beatings. Many, they would beat his feet. And Paul walked in most of the places he went to. And when they beat their feet with rods, they would do it until they couldn't walk. They were swollen, bleeding, skin, I mean, and just think, he walked. And he says, this light, momentary affliction. And then somebody doesn't say hi to us, and we're just devastated and depressed, and we can't go on. I mean, he was shipwrecked and in the sea. Yeah, sometimes he had no food, and other times he was, and Paul was rich, but as he walked through those places for the sake of the gospel, where is that where it talks about all his afflictions? No, I want to know the verse. come on, husband. I thought it was in Corinthians, though. Just all that he was shipwrecked this many times, and where in Acts? No, I know he was shipwrecked with that ship, but that's not what I mean. It says in there, 13 times I was shipwrecked, 10 times I had rod, beaten with rods. You know, he was whipped 39 times. Yeah, I mean, and he called all those things a light momentary affliction. Thank you. Okay. Do you mean that preacher doesn't even know where stuff is? Do you know where everything is? I don't care. Okay, there it is. 2 Corinthians 11. Okay, 24. Well, okay, verse, actually 23. Okay, are they ministering servants of Christ the Messiah? I am talking like one beside himself. In other words, here's Paul over here, and the real Paul's here, but but I am more with far more extensive and abundant labors, with far more imprisonments, beaten with countless stripes, and frequently at the point of death. You got it up there. Yep. 5 times I received from the hands of the Jews, 40 lashes, all but one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Yeah, he was stoned and he died. And you imagine the concussion he must have had? You know, they talk about he went to one of the cities, see, Galatians, Ephesians, I don't know which one it was, but they talk about, and they used to have big arguments about the fact that his eyes were full of pus and stuff. When you look up the history of it, he had just been stoned to death. I think my eyes would probably be puffy too. I mean, I know, but this is just the point. And I just know that commentaries they'd have like conventions and talk about, is this correct? Do you think Paul was really blah, blah, blah? And they would, yeah. Well, if you look up the history of it, I got this from Keith Moore. Okay. That he had just been stoned to death. And the apostles, you know, they went around him. Okay, many times. Okay, maybe in the revival, you're going to raise people from the dead. But you can't expect them. There was a reason they died in the first place. Sometimes their bodies have to repair a little bit. You know what? They can come to life, but you have to give things time because that's a physical thing. Do you see what I mean? You don't expect them to just get up and run. I mean, it could be possible, but a lot of the times there still has to be. And I've read that and studied that from Kenneth Hagin and from good resources. So you can't expect that right away. Okay, but these are all the things that happened to him. Three times beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I've been aboard a ship wrecked at sea. A whole night and a day I spent adrift in the ocean. Ugh. Many times on journeys exposed to perils from rivers, perils from bandits, perils from my own nation, perils from the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the desert, perils in the sea, perils from those posing as believers, but destitute of Christian knowledge and piety. In toil and hardship, watching often through sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, frequently driven to fasting by want, in cold and exposure and lack of clothing. And besides those things that are without, there is the daily inescapable pressure of my care and anxiety for all the churches. You know, and I know somebody, well, he needed to cast those cares. Oh, come on, step in his boots. Yeah, I'm sorry, but I heard somebody preach that, and I was like, yeah, just the stuff. Anyway, who is weak and I do not feel his weakness? Who is made to stumble and fall and have his faith hurt and I am not on fire with sorrow or imagination? Boy. See, but all those things did not stop him. They did not stop him. So the ministry of Jesus is to continue through us. So the one who raised up the Lord Jesus will raise us up too. In fact, if you are born again, he already has. And Ephesians 2:6 says, he has. Ephesians 2:6. Okay, we'll look it up. It's better if we look at it. And he raised us up together with him and made us sit down together. Who's him? Jesus. And he made us sit together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One. That is the highest place of authority in the universe. The highest place of authority in the universe. He raised us up. He elevated us. He brought us to a higher place. And we are seated there right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right now. Right, right. And to do what he's called us to do, you have to be raised up. And when you are raised up, we see a lot more, too. When you go higher, don't you see a lot more from an airplane? But you will see higher when you know you are raised up and you begin to use that authority in Christ, physically and spiritually. Okay, go to Luke 20:36. Well, no, don't put that up. Actually, I'll tell you what it says. Luke 20:36. It says, we are sons of God and shares in the resurrection. You actually shared with him the resurrection just by saying, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. Therefore, you are sons and daughters of God the Father. Do you realize that? I mean, we make a big deal of our past history and we're sons of so and so and we got this armor, you know, as our family, whatever. But we have a greater one in God. Amen. And another translation says we're sons of the resurrection. Sons and daughters. And it speaks of the nature of God and the destiny that we had. We are called up higher than we are right now. I mean, here on earth, we're called up. And our future is up from here. It's up from the time it should be. You know what? You shouldn't be the same old person getting the same old problems and living exactly and doing from the world system. See, that's why you've got to renew your mind with the Word of God. Or all you do is go back to the world and do the same thing and do the same solutions out of the world. Yeah, you do have Jesus living in you now, but you don't live a victorious life because we are sons of the rising, sons of God. And we have risen up. You know what? And if you listen to God, deep calls unto deep. And you know, sometimes we run into people who we like to talk to sometimes. Deep calls into deep. And it gives you the power to rise up. When we talk to each other about things like this, you know, example was Peter walking on the water. Now, when Jesus said, come to him, well, how did Peter said, is that, if this is, if that's you, Lord, tell me to come. Well, what was the Lord supposed to say? No, it's not me, because I know if you walk on the water, you're going to sink. No, he said, come. And so when he said those words, see, have you learned the impact of every word in the Bible? When he said to the leper said, am I good enough for you to heal me? In other words, and he says, I will heal you. He said, I know you can heal, Lord, but will you heal me? Because he felt like he had an unclean spirit, I'm sure. And he said, I will. Well, he says it to you. He's saying, I will heal you. I will heal you. Oh, and you have to meditate on that stuff at home. I mean, think about that stuff. Come up higher. Just come up higher. See, so the Spirit of God is telling you, come up, come up, come up. You've got a destiny. Come up higher. Because we're raised from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. But you're not going to be raised automatically from glory to glory unless you put something into it. See, we all need to look back. Even right now, look back. Are you higher than you were? Yeah. Yeah. Are you in a higher place than you were maybe even 3 months ago or in 2020? You know, some people were drug addicts, drunks, who knows, you know, sick, terrible sinners in despair, depressed, hopeless. You can get rid of depression. You don't have to take all those pills either because he can raise you higher. And you live a totally different life. I think more than 50% the people are on some kind of medication. And I'm not talking about maybe for other things. I'm talking about for the mind. There was a time my son, and I'm not putting it down to anybody who is don't just, if you get into the word and renew your mind, you can get rid of it. I know my son said one time, he said, Mom, all the girls that I know are taking, he finally found one that wasn't, taking something to, so they can elevate their depression and, you know, I mean, it's prescribed. You see, and you know what? You are not thinking clearly in the brain that God gave you when you do that. You are not. Because you could, oh my God, I bet you I'd be on it. But for this, in it a lot. Amen. So he can raise you higher. See, most people, I know that. You come here, you get into the word, and your life starts to change for the better. And you can live a totally different life because of the goodness of God. You know, we've not arrived, but we're on our way up to our destiny. Go to Philippians 3, verse 10. Verse 10. You know, Right in this passage here, I wrote something in my Bible, and when I was studying all this today, I didn't see that. I'm going to read it to you because I just read a little bit, and I thought, oh. Sometimes when you're reading your Bible, God will give you revelation knowledge of or what's going on. And I didn't see this. Okay, I think that CenturyLink guy came about that time. All right, failure and disappointment, I put. Aches and pains of the past that won't go away. Because we are dwelling on them, and they become more real than the promises of God. We get bogged down. We get depressed, frozen in our tracks by fear, so we don't go on because we think we'll fail again. We are forming our thoughts off of the past instead of the future. Unbelief says it can't be done because of the past. But faith looks at the word and says it can be done according to the promises. And it is already done. Faith steps out and acts like victory's already been won. That's a key. Break out of it, Jackie. Get your eyes off the past into the future. Jesus Christ guaranteed us a great future through promises in his word. And then I put 2 Peter 1:3 there. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power is in you. When you get born again, and you got that power, when you read the Bible, it isn't going to be like it was boring before. And it pertains to life and godliness and the knowledge of him that has called you to glory and virtue. Here, I'll prove it to you. There it is, the writing. I mean, I just wrote that at one time or another. Okay, so now let's read the Bible. 10, verse 10. For my determined purpose is, and this would be a good confession, that I may know him. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. Why? Because that power is in you. Resurrection power is in you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And that spirit that raised him from the dead is resurrection power. And it says, which it exerts over believers. And that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in spirit into his likeness, even to his death. Now, okay. What are those sufferings? You know what? The sufferings of flesh, for one thing, getting rid of your flesh. Let's just say, for example, going on a diet. That's good. You have to get rid of your flesh, right? How about quitting smoking? You have to get rid of your flesh. I've been there, done it. You know, quit swearing, quit looking at pornography, yeah, whatever, yeah, getting rid of the friends that aren't friends. It's all there. And the other thing, there's two things. You suffer to get rid of the flesh, and you suffer persecution. People start making fun of you. Or say, well, what? You think you're better than us? You get rid of, yep, I know it. Been there, done that. The whole neighborhood at one time. Okay, verse 11. That if possible, I may attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection that lifts me out. This is all about rising higher. That lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. Actually, people who are not born again are dead. Actually, we're dead in Christ. Now, this is a little deeper. Not that I have attained. Now, see, if I read those scriptures real fast, you would get them. Okay. Now, not that I have now attained this ideal, Paul said, or have already been made perfect. But I love this scripture, but I press on. Okay, remember my press on? I'm in a boat, and the boat is sinking. It's getting full of water quickly. And this is in the ocean, and there's a shark around here. So here comes another boat, but it can't, it's trying to get close, and the waves keep pushing it. And I'm going, and I'm pressing as far as I can press to get rescued. So, but you got to press. You got to press in and not just, my flesh wants this and my flesh wants that. But it's worth it. It's worth it to press. I press on to lay hold and to grasp and make my own that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me and made me his own. You have to press in. Verse 13, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured and made it my own yet. You know, some people think they've arrived. None of us have arrived. None of us. But one thing I do, it is my one aspiration. I forget, now this is something you got to do. I forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead and rise up. I press on, verse 14, toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which Christ, God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. All I can say is your life can change. You don't have to be poor. You don't have to be downtrodden. You don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be, I can't do this and I can't do that. You can go upward. But you got to press. Now, how far was I going to read that? I don't even know where my notes are. Praise God. Philippians, I can't even find Philippians. Oh, there it is. 16. I want to read to 16. Okay. All right. Verse 15. So let those of us who are spiritually mature and full grown have this in mind and hold these convictions. And if in any respect you have a different attitude of mind, God will make that clear to you. He will. Only let us hold. See, if you've gone to a certain place and then you try, you know, you kind of goof up and you got that right. You feel miserable. Verse 16, only let us hold true to what we have already received and attained and walk and order our lives by that. Okay, we'll stop there. It's a high call of God is to be just like himself in this world. You know what? A lot of us think, well, we can't get there. But we can get there unless we quit or we start looking downward. Don't quit. See, one thing you've got to do is repent and forgive yourself if you goofed up. That sometimes is hard because, you know, forget it and move on. God says if you confess your sins, you're faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive you, and he forgets it. He actually says he throws it into a sea of forgetfulness. That's in the Old Testament, but it's still there. See, believe what the Lord said he'd do for you. Just believe it and do what he told you to do. How do you know what he told you to do? Well, I don't hear him saying anything. You might be hearing it right now. Out of here. See, he will, and I'm talking to myself all the time when I'm preaching all this. He won't lie to you. He will not fail you. His word is forever settled in heaven. forever settled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God, which is this, will not pass away. And the word is Jesus. And I keep reminding you of that, but that's so important. He exalts his word above his name. He exalts it above the name of Jesus. He exalts the word of God, but you know, Jesus is the word. It says in John 1, he is the word. Okay, Ephesians 5:1 actually says, we're not going to turn there, but it says that we're to be imitators of our Heavenly Father. You know, just like earthly children will imitate. What is Victoria doing? She was imitating her father and taking the offering. we imitate our Heavenly Father. I mean, our fathers on the earth. If they drink, smoke, swear, and all that stuff, I mean, your little kid will start to do it. But see, we are to imitate our Heavenly Father. How do you know what your Heavenly Father is if you never look in the Word? See, you have to look in the Word. Okay, 1 John 2:6 says, we better put that one up. I wrote it out, but we'll put it up. Okay. Yeah, well, this is kind of different, but that's what God gave me. I had four sermons here. Well, I better turn there myself. 1 John 2:6. Whoever says he abides in God ought as a personal debt to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which Jesus walked and conducted himself. Okay, what does abide mean? It means to live. He lives in you. You live in him, he lives in you. And we ought to walk as he walked. How are you going to know how he walked? Read the Gospels. The four Gospels shows how he walked. See, can we walk like the Master walked? Yes, we can. He did what he did with no unfair advantage over us. Oh, yeah, but he was God. He could do that. No, folks. And I'm going to prove to you, he stripped himself, he emptied himself, and he became like other men. He became just like us. He was tempted, tested, and tried just like us. And you've got to believe it, because he said he did it as a man, not as God. People are shocked, but I'll prove it to you. Turn to Philippians 2:7. And also we're going to go to Hebrews 4:15. Philippians 2:7 out of the Amplified. I know a lot of scriptures. How else are you going to know this, though, unless you know Philippians 2:7. It says, but he stripped himself of all the privileges and rightly dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant or a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And then it even says, and after he appeared in human form, he abased and he humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Now, also Hebrews 4:15. Proves it too. Go to Hebrews 4:15. You got to know where the books of the Bibles are. It says, for we do not have a high priest. Okay. What does high priest mean? The high priest of our confession of faith. We need to confess the word of God out loud when we want something. and you want healing, confess it out loud. And the high priest of our confession, who is Jesus, talks to the Father that we're doing that. So he's a high priest, for we do not have a high priest who is enabled to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and our infirmities and our liabilities to the assaults of temptation. But one who has been tempted in every respect, like we are, yet without sinning. And more proof of that is Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. So we can go back a page. It says, so it is evident that it was essential that Jesus be made like his brothers and sisters. That's us. In every respect, in order that he might become a merciful, sympathetic, and faithful high priest in the things related to God to make atonement and a propitiation for the people's sins. I never like to use that word, but it was, propitiation. No, he made propitiation for our sins, but it's like a high-minded word. And it was, he satisfied the Father with his sufferings for our sins. That's what it means, that he satisfied the Father. For because he himself in his humanity has suffered in being tempted, tested, and tried, he is able immediately to run to the cry to assist to relieve those who are being tempted and tested and tried and who therefore are being exposed to suffering. Now you think, oh, that's suffering. No, folks, and I'm going to get blunt with you. It is sleeping with a woman when you're not married. It is. Or a man. Okay. Committing adultery or fornication. It is looking at pornography. He was tempted, tested, and tried to do all those things. Doing drugs, you know, drinking booze, whatever, all these things. I mean, there's more than that, especially now. Homosexual acts, all kinds of stuff. I'm getting blunt with you because he was tempted, tested, and tried. And even if there is more to this, when he was being tortured, when the soldiers had him before he was crucified, he was put in the basement of that. And it is in the Greek and the Hebrew, they prove he was sexually molested by the soldiers. I know that's an awful thing to say, but our Jesus took everything. He took everything, and he knows. He knows what it feels like. That's why sometimes people sin and they run from him. All you have to do is run to him. It says he understands and he's faithful and he's sympathetic and he will help you. He will help you to move out of it. Oh, he is a good, good God. And he wants us to do the greater works that he does. We're coming into a time of revival. You know what? And we need to, why did we get born again? We got born again to help other people move out of the stuff they were in. I thank God for the people who helped me. I thank God for them. I mean, and they did. They helped me, a lot of people. But you have to move out of that. You can't just be a Christian for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. You got the same old thing. One time I talked to a Christian when I was a baby Christian. 25 years they were a Christian and they did not know that oh yes, we have to be born again, and they didn't know that Jesus lived inside of them. And a baby Christian had to tell them. But see, you've got to have the teaching and the truth. I just thank God that somebody told us to hook up with Kenneth Hagin. I thank God for all those things. And you know, we have fun, right? We're not just some religious. There's a huge difference between religion and what we're talking about also. People get that. It's boring. And I can tell you, I was 39 years in the world. So, you know what? And it stunk. Yeah. It did. Well, it's almost 8:30, so. But see, we can do all those greater works that Jesus did. And we can talk to, help people are just by being kind, just by being lovely. But see, maybe you're not there yet, but keep pressing for the prize of being just like Jesus on earth. And don't go to something so you can criticize it. If you're going to criticize it, you know what? Okay, I'll just end with this. 1 John 4:17 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as God is, so are we in this world." We are like Him. We are. We are like Him, and we have everything. I got a lot more notes on this stuff, so. But the more pray in the Spirit, because we really, as never before in your life, because of what's happening in our country, you need to get ready. You need to get ready. You know, it ain't like it used to be. And it isn't that you spend the whole day, you know, that's not what we're talking about. You have fun, you laugh, especially. You laugh on the devil's head. Amen. Yeah, he hates to see us laugh. Yeah. Amen. Well, okay, hopefully I see all of you and more on Friday night, because this is important. Tomorrow morning's Bible study. What? 4 o'clock Friday and Saturday. We did that for convenience sake. So you can go roller skating, ice skating, bowling, to a movie on Friday and Saturday. No. Because you'll get out early enough. Play cards, whatever. Have some fun. Sleep. Yeah, that sounds good to me. You know what? Can you pull up? I'll raise a hallelujah and we'll just.